Most, if not all of us, have experienced some kind of trauma. Something has happened in our lives that was severe and painful, and it's affected the way we think and the way we act. Most people think trauma is the event, but psychologically speaking, trauma is the reaction or the response to the event. Here's an official definition. Trauma refers to the emotional response a person experiences after a distressing event that overwhelms their ability to cope, such as accidents, violence, or natural disasters. It can lead to long-lasting effects like anxiety, flashbacks, and difficulties in relationships. The wounds we have and that you can't see hurt just as much as the wounds you can see. That broken heart you carry around with you might even hurt more than that broken toe you got by stubbing it into the dresser. Sometimes the wounds you can't see take longer to heal. Inevitably, some perky Christian will quote Romans 8:28 at, yes, I said at you, when you're hurting. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. I'm not saying this isn't a good verse. It's a great verse. It contains important eternal truth. But it doesn't always help people who are hurting in the moment. There's a time and a place for everything, including Bible verses. For instance, you would never quote Matthew 27:5 to someone who has suicidal thoughts. This verse goes, "Then Judas went away and hanged himself." Okay, you get my point. Easy does it with the clobbering of people with Bible verses. Now, I'm from the walk it off generation. When we got hurt, we were told to walk it off. When I fell out of a tree and onto a barbed wire fence, I was told, walk it off. I still have the scar. I'll show it to you in the summer when I don't have sleeves. When your BFF told your deepest, darkest secrets to another friend, you were told, walk it off. As I matured, I realized you don't just walk off trauma like you might a skinned knee. You don't just get over trauma. It ain't that easy. You don't move past it. You have to heal from it. There are three different types of traumas. The first one is acute trauma. This is a response from a one-time traumatic event. During COVID, I crashed my bike and broke my elbow. It really traumatized me. It took me an entire year before I was able to gather the courage to get back on my bike, because every time I would, it would flash before my eyes that I was going to fall off that bike again and break my elbow again. In fact, every time I get on the bike, even now, that still flashes through my mind. That's a one-time traumatic event. Then there's chronic trauma. This is a long-term response to repeated events. So maybe you were bullied all the way through junior high school. It left a mark and a bruise that still smarts today. Maybe you were raised in a home where there were addictions and abuse, and you never felt safe. These events were long-term, but they are no longer happening, but they still have an effect on you. The third one is complex trauma. This is a response to multiple and ongoing events. Multiple negative and abusive events are happening all at the same time, and they are ongoing. Say a kid lives in a situation where she is verbally abused, she's neglected and molested by a family member simultaneously. Many things are happening all at once and continue on a regular basis. Whatever level of trauma you are on or have been on, trauma changes you and it changes your perspective. It changes how you see people and it changes how you see God. Because of some of my childhood experiences, my trauma response was to become a people pleaser. My trauma response has caused me to lose many hours of sleep. It has caused me to eat way too much candy and watch way too much television. If I think someone is not happy with me, this cycle gets crazier and crazier and crazier. But you know what? Sometimes people pleasing works to my advantage. The person I'm making happy at the time likes me. They really, really like me. But then another person gets into the mix, and then I'm in a situation where I can't make anybody happy. Then the response cycle starts over again, poor sleeping, too much candy, too much TV, and and on it goes. The Apostle Paul experienced all kinds of trauma, acute, chronic, and complex. If we go all the way back to his conversion, we see that he was the guy who was inflicting trauma on others. He was persecuting Christians. Acts 9 tells us that he made murderous threats toward Christians. He would go and get arrest warrants for them so he could tie them up and personally drag them into court where he hoped a judge would rule that they would have the death sentence. I reckon Paul got what he had, what was coming to him when his conversion was also traumatic. My conversion was like a Hallmark movie. And action. Dim the lights, cue the soft music, a soft voice begins to intone, "You are far away from God. Aren't you sick of your sins? Put your faith in Jesus Christ." So at a youth convention with a Michael W. Smith song playing in the background, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul's conversion was not that. Before he was called Paul, he was Saul. Acts 9:3 tells about how a light from heaven knocked Saul Paul on his keister. We don't know exactly what the light from heaven was, but your fifth grade science book would probably tell you it was lightning. Then a voice from heaven spoke, and it wasn't a poem from Mother Goose. The voice booms out in Acts 9:4, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Then Saul Paul was made blind for 3 days. He was so traumatized that he couldn't eat or sleep for 3 days. To pour salt on the wound, none of the other Christians liked or trusted him. Then for the rest of his life, he endured prolific abuse. He was jailed multiple times. He had to run for his life in almost every city he went to. He was beaten. He was stoned to death. Although there is a debate on whether or not he was just hurt when he was stoned or dead, I believe he was dead. Reading from Acts 14:19. "But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead." When you were stoned in the ancient world, you were stoned until you were dead. Dead was the point. The stoners, not like that, would have not left the scene until they were 100% sure Paul was dead. If we read on to the next verse, it reads like this: "But when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and entered the city, and on the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe." I believe this verse infers the disciples raised him from the dead. Later in 2 Corinthians 11:23 through 28, Paul processes his trauma. He's going to now acknowledge it. He's now going to start talking about it. He says this: "Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, danger from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches." Paul was beaten and jailed more times than he could count. In ancient times, when you were whipped, you received 39 lashes with a leather strap. Technically, you could survive 39 lashes, but you would probably die on the 40th. If you killed a guy while you were whipping him, you would be charged with murder. So everybody who did the whipping stopped at 39. Paul nearly dies several times while receiving this kind of whipping. Paul was beaten with rods. We just talked about the time he was stoned. Not like that. He survived a shipping accident. He was in constant danger. He was often hungry, thirsty, and cold. To top all of that up, He felt immense pressure and anxiety about what was going to happen to all of these newly forming churches. Like Paul, we need to process the pain of our trauma. In order to process it, you've got to acknowledge it. You don't heal when you ignore the wound. You start to heal when you talk about it. You start to heal when you take it to God. Many times when we refuse to acknowledge trauma, we are trying to protect ourselves, or worse, the one who hurt us. When protection becomes the priority, we begin to hide. We push others away. And we don't heal very well in isolation. We heal in community. This is part of the reason Hebrews tells us to keep fellowshipping with other Christians. Instead of taking our pain to a trusted friend or to God, we go somewhere else with it, and often it's somewhere destructive. We will try to medicate it. We try to escape it, so we go to drugs or alcohol. I go to TV and candy, but I already told you that. If you've ever been hurt so deeply that you didn't know if you wanted to live anymore, you're not alone. Paul, who was one of the biblical greats, felt the same way. 2 Corinthians 1:8, we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Find the right place and the right person with whom you feel safe and process your trauma. Prayerfully press into God with your hurts. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Everybody has a thorn in the flesh. You have a thorn in the flesh, and I have a thorn in the flesh. If your thorn in the flesh is sitting next to you this morning, don't look at it and give it a dirty look. In 2 Corinthians 12:8, Paul begs God three times to take the thorn away from him. These were three seasons of prayer, not three little now I lay me down to sleep prayers. We can take our hurts in the very same way to God, again and again and again. God's answer to Paul is this: my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Then Paul says something that sounds a little weird. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so Christ's power may rest on me. While we are living through that thing that hurts us the most, that is when we will discover God's power and his presence the most. Nothing can change your past, but God can heal your broken heart. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Maybe you're not ready to hear this yet, so let's file this for later. But there's a purpose for your trauma. Paul, the one who faced enough trauma to choke a horse, said this: praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We have a purpose for our pain. It's so that one day we will be able to comfort others with the same kind of comfort we got from God himself. Too soon to hear that? Like I said, file it for later, because I believe one day will come when that idea will give you a sense of fulfillment. Look, I know many of you have been hurt. I've been hurt too. Some of you might be hurting right now. You find yourself more angry than usual. You find yourself being more deceptive than usual. You find yourself pushing away from others. You've lost some things that you could not afford to lose, and something's not right, and you're not okay. I know it. I've been hurt too. I've had to recover from some pretty deep stuff. I'm in this with you and for you. You not only can be healed, but you can be stronger on the backside of this thing. You can have the strength of Jesus Christ in you. I've been healed from some of the traumas I faced, and I believe I'm stronger. Not in a Christian-y cliche way, but I literally feel the strength that has grown in my spirit. Oh, I still have a ways to go. I'm not sitting here this morning telling you I have arrived. But I am further along this year than I was last. And isn't that the goal? Progress. Let's make progress. We don't have to have immediacy, just a little progress. Remember how I said there was a time and a place for everything, including Romans 8:28? Well, now is the time and place for it. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. I want you to feel this. Even in our most painful, broken moments, in all things, and for our good, God is working those pains together for good, those traumas, those wounds. And not just for our own personal good, but for an overall good. And maybe the good doesn't happen right now, but one day the good will be seen. One day, I believe you will see the good. Your trauma may or may not have been your fault, but pursuing God is your responsibility. You gotta do it. No more excuses. We get hurt, but we can heal because we have a good God. And this God wants to heal us. He's not holding things back because it's fun. He wants to heal you, but you must throw yourself upon him. And I want you to have hope today. I want you to know that there is a way out. I'm here if you need someone to stumble through this thing with you. And there are others in this church who are here and would be here for you. I don't have all the right answers, but I do hurt with you and for you. And I just want to say this morning, I love you more than I know how to say. And because I love you, I hope you can trust me if I push you just a little bit this morning. I want to see you make a little bit of progress from your trauma. Just a little bit. A little baby step. But most of all, I want to push you toward Jesus, because there is healing and there is hope with Jesus.